you're a fraud.
You're a liberal hack.
Hey, Nico, long time no pod.
Yep, long time no pod. It has been finished, a while.
Finished raising your child then?
Yeah, he's done. He's out. He's working at Coles now.
So yeah. Well, he's grown up. He's old. How old is he now? Like
7 months.
7 months. I'd say normally 6 months get him to work.
Yeah, yeah, seven. Just the 1 month wait. That's okay.
A bit you of a spoil dog. Him.
Yeah. No, it's all going pretty well. Enjoyed your pod, whatever it was, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago.
Yep.
I'm halfway through it. So, I enjoyed the first half, though. Just,
well, was that?
It kind of sounds like I stopped halfway through. I'm still going.
Movies you haven't seen yet, maybe.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know, it's, sometimes you just see an intermission. I had it on the car, so that's why.
Right. I was talking to one of my friends about it, and he's like, yeah, I don't really listen to your podcast, just the movies I know I won't see.
Oh, okay. Not the other way around.
Yeah, because I guess there'll be spoilers.
Yeah, yeah.
So we just have to review crap movies that nobody wants to see. Then, and that could work. We've done this time, really.
I think it's underappreciated a review to so you don't have to go see something. So yep. Everyone recommends everything like TV shows, and TV shows is a massive like chunk of your time. So
over recommended.
I think I do people a favor and I say I've watched this, don't watch it. Like you're just gonna waste your time. And they don't treat it like I've done them a service, but it's better of a service than. Saying, oh, you have to watch it now. All 10 seasons gone.
Yeah, it's really good to know. Like, yeah, you don't have to watch 200 episodes of Gilmore Girls. It's fine. Just move on.
Exactly.
You could pick up a craft or look, probably spend that time on your iPhone, but probably better.
Better use. We could do that. We could review a craft one time and just say crochet. Well, like
an art form. It's,
to say not worth it. Not worth it.
Yeah.
So we'll do two today.
Yeah. Speaking of crap movies, nobody wants to see.
Yeah. Right. Well, we'll see. We'll see how we go.
I'm going to guess that you didn't like Joker, and that you didn't like Megalopolis as well. You didn't like.
No, I didn't see Megalopolis. I still need to see it.
Wait. What was? What are the two then?
I saw The Substance.
Oh right, The Substance. Oh, well, maybe
I know. I was like, it's purely just for when it was on. So The Substance was on mid-afternoon. I was like, yep, cool. I went to see that. And I was looking at Megalopolis, and they had two sessions, and one was at night, and one was already been. So I was just like, that's my decision. I will see it. I just haven't seen it yet.
That's a funny one to kind of just casually see without really being excited for it or knowing too much about it.
The Substance. No, I knew. I actually did want to go.
You're aware of it? Okay, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, I know you went to see it, but it was one that, out of all three of those, is the one I was the most excited to see, because I'd seen the trailer, and for me, it was like, okay, cool. That looks good, and looks like something I'd normally want to watch.
Mm.
Megalopolis, interesting trailer. I've obviously been a little bit dismayed by the reviews, many, many reviews, both critic and audience. I know your review's good. So I want to give it a chance, and then you got Joker. So
Joker, which I mean, for me, it's proving what audiences know, what critics know.
Yeah, I mean, we can get into that. Why don't we do The Substance first? Just
okay,
pressure on the mind for both of us, maybe.
Yeah, it is pretty fresh. Very, I don't know if it'll ever fade from my memory, to be honest.
Right, very lasting.
See it in there.
Mm.
Did you like it?
Look, I did like it. I didn't read your review because I wanted to see it first, and then I read your sort of tweet review. So I saw that after. I think we're probably going to overlap a bit in how we took the movie. I certainly liked it pretty well, but I had notes, if it makes sense. So like where it was going one way, I really think it would have, like, I would have loved to have seen it go a slightly different direction, but I still appreciated the ending. I thought it was leading me down a different ending, and I was a little bit disappointed, but it saved it sort of just at the end. I thought it still was the weakest part of the movie. I thought the ending, that being said,
The ending, like
the ending, ending. Yeah.
Yeah. Like the sort of final shot,
No, the whole lead up to it.
Oh,
there were good elements of the ending, but there was also a lot of it was sort of. So this is what I think the director Coralie Fag. Can you spell pronounce the last name Fagier? French girl.
I don't want to pronounce it.
Okay. Well, anyway, we've definitely not spelled it right. Coraline has. I think she had an idea in mind for the movie, and I don't think she had an ending. That was a bit more of a writer's kind of, okay, how should we end this? Rather than be a, that's where we want to take this movie. I think it was more, where are we going with this and how are we going to end it? Still good, but I think it was the idea outshone the, I suppose, summation of the movie, if that made sense. And I think you probably had a similar experience maybe.
No, see, I actually really liked the sort of final act of the movie. I guess this is kind of a hard one to talk about without getting into spoiler territory. So we'll just, you know, whatever. I think people know now, spoilers. Once she becomes the Eliza Sue, Monstro Eliza Sue, the freak hybrid of the two of them, that's a classic disgusting practical effects monster for the most part. That kind of, for me, was a very relieving moment in the movie because it was so kind of realistic. I mean, not too much because Demi Moore does become like a haggard old witch kind of character, but it's still, I felt like the body horror and everything was quite realistic. And painful for me to watch because it was too close to home. And the movie was, for me, very unpleasant to watch for a lot of it. And it was getting a bit too much for me. And then it kind of went so over the top with the final act and it became kind of hilarious. Like when the horrific monster is, you know, putting on her earrings and putting on little bangles, and she's got this one disgusting, like, golem strand of hair that she's using the curling iron on. That's when the movie just became hilarious. And I was, like, almost falling out of my seat laughing. And to me, that kind of saved the movie because it was getting to be too unpleasant. And so when it kind of leaned into the comedy of it, that's when I mean, it's still horrific.
I thought it just leaned a little bit too far into the comedy, especially at the end. You're right in that it sets up a sort of realistic, you know, this could happen in the world. I went to see it with another person who thought it was just a little bit too disjointed from, so it wasn't grounded enough, I thought. I sort of forgave it for taking off in a way because I think, it was that sort of movie. So a similar movie that you don't really think of, you know, the everyday life consequences for is Mother, for example, by Darren Aronofsky in terms of,
okay,
you appreciate that the story that they're telling isn't really individual. It's more, you know, like
allegorical.
This movie's the same. Another one's Killing of a Sacred Deer. It's very allegorical, and it's a bit of a high end in terms of
it's not grounded, sort of, but it's not like realist. It's realistic, but it's not like realist. It's not obsessed with being real.
I agree with that. Yeah. And that was fine. I think so. For me, where it's super effective is really the idea and what it's conveying and what it's sort of telling. I think it's fantastic. I don't want to say resonated because I think it's great in terms of it's telling from a point of view that we don't, that it's sort of flipped. For example, all the really in your face sexual scenes, or they're to me as disgusting as the body horror, which is it's so weird to say that, but that's how it felt for me. And I do think that's what the director was going for, was to make it comparable in how disgusting it was, just eating prawns. Dennis Quaid's character also very good, but like just what it's saying there was I thought it was unique. I'm sure there's films that's done before, not that I've seen, but where the sexuality element to it is not like even showing tits and stuff, it was just not like sexual, it was more disgusting.
It was it was sort of like highly stylized and sexualized, but in a way that made you feel horrible. Like
horrible, right? Yeah.
That's... For like a moment, I would be in a non-creepy way aroused or just titillated because it is a sexual scene, and then immediately, I got the dark feeling in my pit of my stomach where I'm like,
really
oh,
felt dark, right?
Yeah, very dark.
So and like. Very different, again, Darren Aronofsky, but in Requiem for a Dream, the very final scene, it's...
Yeah, I haven't seen that one.
Jennifer Connelly. Okay, well, she's selling her body for drugs, and it's the scene, but it just feels so dark and disgusting, despite what's ostensibly happening on screen. So, look, I'm going to say that I think she's definitely got, influences in that direction, but I really enjoyed what it was, what the idea
thematically,
that
yeah.
So for that, it was really sitting very high. The ending, I maybe I'm just like, I wanted it to go one way. I don't want to hold it to a movie to like what I wanted it to do. So I'm not gonna really take points away, but I do think the ending was certainly something that wasn't the reason it was telling the story. I think the idea was it was a little bit weaker for me.
I feel like the ending kind of showed you that the movie, while it has all these like thematically resonant elements, at its core, it's actually a comedy. And yeah, you might expect it to have a sort of more dour ending that perhaps kind of goes more to the themes of the movie, which it kind of does at the end, having her like her bloody face on her Hollywood star that kind of dissolves and then is like swept away the next morning as if she never existed. But you could never expect having this horrible monster on stage, like spurting 50,000 liters of blood over the audience and like hilarious shots of like Dennis Quaid covered in blood, like little 6-year-old girls covered in blood. For me, that was so unexpected and so fun. And it's not that I thought I, it's fun. It's
funny,
it's
funny how you described it. It's so fun.
But I didn't expect that.
I get what you're saying. At its core, it's a comedy. I don't know. I don't think it is. I think it's certainly it's a very black comedy, but it's I don't know if at its core it's a comedy. I certainly think it's got comedic outbursts. Certainly at the end, it's very, but I don't know if it's a comedy.
I think it's got themes. Maybe. It's got ideas, but you can have those in a comedy. And like, yes, it's horrific. Yeah. It's like, for me, like I'm not a big horror guy. Like I watch most stuff. Texas Chainsaw Massacre watched recently, and that still fucked me up like 50 years after it came out. I was like, holy fucking shit. But like I can handle a lot of horror, but I don't like seek out like the Saw movies, even though I've watched most of them, or like Hostel or any of that kind of really over the top stuff. So this was kind of one of the most horrific movies I've seen, but still, in spite of that, I still came away thinking of it as a comedy, more in the vein of like Shaun of the Dead or Slither, one of the early James Gunn movies, or like Peter Jackson's early splatter movies. It felt more like that, where it doesn't mean it doesn't have a point to it, or it's not it's got all its themes and everything, and those are just as meaningful as if they were in a major dramatic work. The comedy, I don't think, lessens it, is my point.
Yeah, okay. No, I don't think, yeah, like I said, it's not sort of where I kind of wanted it to go a little bit more is to angle in on the sexuality exploitation side just a little bit more. Sure. I mean, I know it's there and it's more than hinted at and that's clear, but just a little bit.
It's like the whole thing for me.
I thought it maybe pulled its punches just a tiny bit, but maybe that's just kind of what I was asking for, for something like a sort of really kind of like anti Hollywood or system, or you know, like anti entertainment kind of. But it had elements, but I think, but I also appreciate that's also maybe what she wasn't wanting to tell entirely, and there certainly was a comedic kind of
to me, I think that was the main point of the movie, was the sexual exploitation and
yep.
How Hollywood treats women, and yeah, the fucked up things they do to try to stay young. That's the thing. This movie, I felt, was such a more so than other movies which might have a positive message about self-love or like body positivity, this movie made me just kind of be happy with myself. I'm like, all right,
like a cautionary tale.
Balding pills because of the side effects of balding pills and like how awful that is for your body. Like, I'll just embrace being a human and whatever. I'm not going to get my teeth whitened and have sensitive teeth, you know, like, because the movie is showing like, in all her pursuits of this, she is being horribly maimed and it's terrible for her. And I think obviously it's like a manifestation of her insides as well. But yeah, the whole movie is her like, you're 50, you're done. And you can have the exact same person. Like, that's what she's saying at the end when she's like the Elizabeth Sue monster. She's like, I'm the same person. And it's just, oh man, it kills me. That, I felt it was, for me, it was very, very effective at dealing with it. Like the way Dennis Quaid treats her when she's 50 versus how he treats her when she's 25, despite it being the exact same person. Like for me, I felt it ran, it was not subtle for me.
No, I just thought, so I agree 100% with that. I just thought it could have gone a little bit more.
With the ending, you mean? Yeah.
Yeah, because it doesn't really end with that kind of.
It kind of, okay.
A little bit, but also not. I thought just a tiny bit. I'm not saying like she didn't convey the message through very, very well. I just thought maybe just a little bit pulled the punches. I love that what you said. It's exactly right. It's sort of they're very intertwined, the two themes. It's basically the exploitation of, let's call them mainly women, but really women, young women, and how that sort of culminates into dying of drug overdoses, everything like that. But how that can kind of happen, killing yourself or killing, you know, tomorrow's you for a sort of chance at stardom. I really thought that was great. And I think that's, for me, was conveyed at like 10 out of 10. That was brilliantly done. And I was super on board with it. So I really did enjoy that. That's it. I think I was getting a little bit nitpicky. So I've still given it a really good score. I gave it 8.5 out of 10.
Well, that's higher than me. I gave it an 8. So,
okay.
I will just say, like, one of the elements that maybe was more of a subtle theme, but maybe not, is the element of addiction, like how she steals from tomorrow for today and how that affects her. And like, you know, there's all these scenes of her, you know, waking up the next day and the room is trashed, either because the young person was partying and drinking and doing drugs and having sex, or the older one was like eating pizzas and just being a slob or whatever. But the same element of waking up the next morning and like regretting everything and being like, and that was a different person. Like, it wasn't even you. She's like, holy fuck. And she's like, you know, tomorrow I'll be better or whatever. And then eventually she goes on like a 3-month bender, which does end up killing her and making. So I think that was also an element that was tied into it.
Yeah.
As somebody who kind of gets that addiction angle, I thought that was also like a little interesting part of it, less so than there's obviously lesser, but
no, you're right, it certainly what was, and I certainly heard it as well. So I think as a movie it was striking those themes and telling that story incredibly effectively. So
yeah,
to me, I thought it's a much watch. I think it's something I don't think everyone's going to gross out. I think if you can watch it with a level of maturity to say, look, okay, I'm gonna let it, you know, try to speak to me, and I think a lot of people would hear what it's trying to say without thinking, oh, you know, that's stupid or something.
I'm still not recommending it to, like,
you know,
not to everybody yeah, to some people, to,
no, like, but I recommend a lot of movies that sort of make you uncomfortable. I mean, I enjoy for comedy, for example, one of my favorite comedy elements is cringe comedy, so like The Office UK.
Yeah,
like I know a lot of people hate that kind of comedy, but I love that kind of comedy. It's really good. So in the same vein, it's something that you're not going to be comfortable watching. It I was certainly feeling
I'm gonna
anxious
tell people, it's kind of cringe comedy. It's like The Office. You should check it out. If you like The Office, you'll like The Substance.
Exactly right.
Okay, well, that's
The Substance. Nice short,
plenty of substance to that one,
plenty of style too.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, I did want to talk about this. So we last movie we reviewed, I think, was Long Legs. And I thought it was noting that the reasons you didn't like it, one of them was the sort of whole one perfect shot kind of. I felt this movie had that too, right?
I think it almost did. At the very start with like the egg, it did. And then there was like a couple of shots and scenes at the start of the movie where I literally had the exact same thought of like that fucking center framing, completely symmetrical shot is fucking back and it's going to be the whole movie. And then it ended up having a really interesting visual style. That was just like one small element of it. But like when Dennis Quaid goes for a piss and he walks right up to the camera from across the room and then his face is just in the middle of the
fucking
so close. Like I've never seen a shot like that. And it worked so effectively for what it was conveying, which I don't it was conveying like him having a piss and being like this aggressive guy on the phone.
Right. Like just disgusting. It was everything was disgust. It was like the way he talked, the way he looked, the way taking he pissed and talking about how
it's like women.
50-year-olds. Yeah, exactly. It's just, that to me kind of was like, yeah, I think I'm in for a good movie here. Like, I feel like this is great. I was really, that set the whole movie up for me, I actually thought. I'm trying to think what that reminded me of, because that kind of real close-up, like, fisheye and sort of.
Maybe the card counter with the Willem Dafoe shots. You haven't seen that, okay. Good Paul Schrader movie.
I feel like you know I didn't say that. You just wanted to
I don't know. Paul Schrader, Oscar Isaac. He's got. You might have seen the shots if you've ever seen on Twitter, like Willem Dafoe's face in close-up Fish Island.
Yeah, I think maybe I've seen a sent up. Because what just came to mind was like a TikTok I watched where people were just each other like that, but just saying stupid things. I'm sure there's a movie that I've seen that was very much like that.
Yeah.
Maybe The Last Duel had that a little bit. Maybe not. No, maybe not.
That's a movie that I didn't remember as soon as I walked out of it.
Really? No, I really liked it. Yeah, I guess you just don't get Ridley Scott.
Maybe not.
Anyway, no. So what my point in bringing that up was, I thought that it's not always a death sentence when a, let's call it a cinematographer or director decides to do that, right? I think what we need, and this is what I was trying to say with Long Legs, is there's got to be a point as to why they're doing that.
Yeah.
And I thought Long Legs had a point, and I think this one had a point too. It wasn't just entirely all symmetrical. It wasn't like...
No, well, I think
it... But the ones that were, it was like, okay, like it's for a purpose and for a reason.
I think in this one, it was like, for those specific shots, like the egg, when it splits off into two yolks, that really works because it's like the center framing of the individual becoming... the two separate ones. That's thematic of the story as a whole. But then it also like
the hallway, like there's a lot of shots.
But the hallway is kind of a different one because it's the way the characters like walk up to the camera. Like it's less about the symmetry of it and more about like the depth of it, if that makes sense. I don't know. For me, it felt like the symmetrical center framing shots were used, but then were in their use. It was also the other shots, which were like 90% of the movie were not center framing symmetrical shots. It was the relationship between the two types of shots more than just like every shot being the same. So when it went from like perfect center framing to like Demi Moore walking down the street from a low angle and she's off center, and then that shot is more noticeable because it's come straight from the other kind of shot. Whereas I felt like Long Legs, 90% of the movie was that shot and then 10% was something different. Whereas the reverse ratio here.
Right. We're gonna have to dig up.
Let's relitigate Long Legs.
No, I'm just saying, if you remember, I said that was fine because it was trying to create...
Oh, yeah, that's right. Sorry, I was agreeing with you in the sense that, this time they were doing it for a reason. And so it was fine.
But then Saltburn. We all agreed Saltburn is a piece of shit that just tries to make, oh, look how cool this looks. It's like, no, it's a piece of shit. Okay, so should we... all right, this is going to be a hard one because we obviously don't agree for the next one, which is?
Megalopolis.
What if we agree? We could agree on Megalopolis.
That would be funny. Joker, Foley, adieu.
I think okay, Megalopolis. I'll be absolutely honest here, and I'll say I'm going to go in giving it a complete blank slate. Megalopolis. I'm not going to hold what people have said about it because it's so varied. So many people have different things and different things to say about it, and there are people who enjoyed it. That I would sort of, you know,
I would recommend say, going okay, and giving good. It a bit of credit. Like, just let it be good, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean,
it's an easy movie to hate.
When I went to see Joker, I did not give it that. I was going in thinking this is going to be a piece of shit, so I did not give it a blank slate. But I'll be honest, too. You didn't as well.
No, you saw before I went into the movie. I was tweeting. I said,
"Yeah, you're gonna...
I want to hate this movie so badly."
Exactly. That's what I mean. You went in wanting to hate it, or at least
It wasn't a blank slate. It wasn't a blank slate. I really wanted to hate Joker 2 because I don't want to be a contrarian necessarily. I just want to
that's what I'm saying.
Or I don't want to I'm fine with being a contrarian on occasion. Like, it just, that means you're discerning. You like some movies that everybody likes, but sometimes you're like, oh, I've got a bit of a different opinion. But then there's movies that come out that everybody hates, and then I'm like, actually, I thought it was great for every fucking movie.
If it's every fucking movie, then
yeah, with Joker 2, everybody hates it.
Everyone hates it.
Hates it. So it's almost like it's objective, and so I'm being annoying if I end up liking it, which of course I did.
So, with that being said, I feel like it's, you got to prove your side a lot more than I have to prove my side.
Okay,
it's not a fair fight, this one, because I went around because I was like, I'm going to look into why people like this. Because the thing is, I like the first one, and right. I don't know if you like the first one.
I liked it. I gave it an 8.
Oh, I thought you didn't like it. Okay, so you like the first one. The only ones that I've seen where there's been some correlation of people that didn't like the first one, and then they liked the second one, and I felt that was because they liked what it did to the first one because they hated the first one.
Yeah, I can see those people liking it for sure.
Yeah. So, okay, that's interesting. So this is pure from what I'm hearing. I have not heard this kind of opinion where you like the first one and then you really like the second one. This is like uncharted grounds. I've read so many reviews. I have not found a single positive one.
First one is basically an exploitation schlock film, like a mental health exploitation, depressploitation, which is super gratifying. Gives you he becomes the Joker. He shoots Robert De Niro in the head. He kills those Wall Street guys. It's all very gratifying, right? It's appealing to our baser instincts. And it's not really saying as much as people said it was saying at the time. It's this great treatise on mental illness and how society doesn't care about people. No, really it was a mental health exploitation film that gives you a really gratifying murder spree kind of situation. Whereas this movie, I thought, had a much greater depth to it, where it's saying, look, it's not good just to go crazy and kill guys necessarily. Arthur Fleck is not a hero. He's a troubled guy who did bad things, and he understands that he's done bad things and wants to repent for them in some way and allows himself to, it's the whole better angels thing. Like, you can go for the gratifying killing people, or you can do the harder thing and try to be a good person. And I think that's what this movie is conveying. And so I really that.
That would be the official, if you were to get, is it Warner Brothers? No, yeah, it's Warner Brothers, right? If you get Warner Brothers and you got Todd Phillips on a stand, that would be the official point of the movie. I could see that. But I'm very cynical, and I think that a big part as to why this got greenlit and the point of the film going forward, and I couldn't help but feel this being said in the film, was that we are unwriting, or we are setting right. We were setting right the first Joker because people misunderstood it, which I think is incredibly fucking lame and stupid. And that resonated with a lot of people, and I think
it's got greenlit because the first one made $1 billion. That's it. It made $1 billion, and so they're making a second one.
But yeah, yeah. You're being cynical too, as in like, I think money
beats wokeness every time. Like people, they've learned that clearly.
No, but what's this? This film's not making anything. It's flop.
Well, that's the thing. Todd Phillips, like, because he's forced into making a sequel because the first one made $1 billion, he's like, I'm going to do something different. I'm not just going to make, like, Iron Man 2. You know, Iron Man 1, revolutionary in a lot of ways, and a movie that I still have a lot of affection for. Iron Man 2 is the same movie plus 10%, which is every superhero movie, which is what Warner Bros. Would have wanted. But Todd Phillips said, look, I made you $1 billion, so I get final cut and no test audience screening. So I'm going to make the kind of movie that I want to make, which, yeah, you can have all those themes, and you're kind of right. Yeah, maybe Todd Phillips is setting things right. He thinks that the first movie was embraced by the wrong type of people, and he wants to piss on them. That's probably part of it. But
without,
I think
the courtesy of calling it rain.
You know, the kind of guy to fuck you in the ass and not even have the common courtesy to give you a reach around.
Yeah.
Famously said
by Sigourney Weaver.
But I also think, like, he wanted to make art in some way. And I think he just tried some crazy things. He's clearly inspired. I think people, like, they so clearly recognize the Scorsese connection from the first one.
That's basically another part of it. I think he was.
But this one is basically a ripoff of One from the Heart by Francis Ford Coppola. Not exactly, but very, very similar in set design, the fact that it's a musical, the types of characters. It's different in a lot of ways, but I feel like it rips it off almost to the same degree that the first movie ripped off, what's it called?
King of Comedy.
King of Comedy.
Yeah. Yeah, and having watched that after, you certainly are like, okay.
Yeah, I watched it after.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I was like, people said Taxi Driver, and I was like, no, I didn't quite get that. But then King of Comedy, you're like, yeah, yeah, okay, definitely.
Yeah, after watching King of Comedy, I think I almost like docked the first Joker a point. I was like,
for sure.
Like, literally all of the good bits are from.
Okay, before we get into, I suppose, why I also, you know, like what I didn't sort of, I suppose, you know, resonate, and I'm kind of with the crowd with this one, and it's also not great being with the crowd, but like I promise you I was trying to find positive reviews just to see another. The closest I got to a positive review was by a guy that I didn't think would be anything positive, was the Critical Drinker on YouTube, where he
liked
said,
it.
No, it's a close. He didn't like it, but he liked it better than every other review.
That's crazy.
Which is crazy to me too. But where I kind of agreed with him was that the musical numbers, they were long. Correct, there were so many of them, but they were done well.
Yeah, I love them.
Effectively, like, and you had Lady Gaga. You're utilizing your talents, and the performances were good too. From almost everyone, I can't think of really
even the guy who played Harvey Dent,
weak spots, right?
Didn't have much to do, but I thought he was good.
But it just felt so wasted to me. So because it was just so for fans of the first one, I 100% know why they don't like it, and basically what they've done the character 100%, and I can kind of see that. But I also just think it was just such a it was difficult to get through. It was a difficult two and a half hours. It felt super long. I think it was a little bit, you say it was kind of like, you know, no studio edits or cuts. Let me do complete artistic license, complete autistic license. Similar to when Peter Jackson had complete artistic license for The Hobbit and made fucking 3-hour Hobbit movies, you know, for 3 episodes. Similar way, you kind of sometimes need that perspective to say, no, what are you doing here?
I think I will never support studio interference, but I take your point.
Yeah, okay. There's interference, but there's also...
Even studio interference. I like the pure artist. That's what I like.
Yeah, okay, but then that artist needs to be completely open to knowing that what they're doing
you know, like they've got to be incredibly good to be have 100% creative control and artistic license and put out something amazing, right? So
yeah,
we're looking at Todd Phillips is not that for me. He's I think he, like, to be honest, I like some of his films, but it's like he is a studio director, and I think this kind of like proved to me that he is that. You call it art, but I think that's incredibly generous. I think there are artistic moments in the film, and it looks good, but it just I don't think there's a point to it. I really don't think there's a point to it. I think it was a waste of everyone's time. No, I know you get
the point. Yeah, the point that I made earlier about the point is that it's about being a good person instead of
it's an anti movie, I think, because it's like you sort of taking it's like, see, we can make the Joker. Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't sit well with me. Mm. It's like I feel you can do what you want with what's it called? Like intellectual property, especially if, you can, but like, I think it crossed a little bit of a line for me. I think, especially when we've got so many better iterations of this character. But despite all that, Joaquin Phoenix is good, but
I think he's better here this time as well than he is in the first movie. Fair enough. I think he.
Oh yeah, he got an Oscar the first time.
That's like crazy. That's crazy.
Well, I didn't think it was that bad. I don't think I don't think he didn't deserve the Oscar. I'm just saying, like, it was.
I think
it definitely wasn't. It wasn't like, oh, he followed up with a fucking Razzie or something like that.
It's still like it's a very good performance, but it is just crazy that Joaquin Phoenix won an Oscar for Joker in 2019. That's just like a crazy thing to have happened in the history of cinema. And I don't know, man. That's the thing with these Joker movies. They occupy such an interesting space in this like IP schlock world that we live in. The first one subverting expectations or whatever, and then the second one subverting expectations in a completely different way. I think this movie was obviously just doomed from the start. I mean, people hated the concept of it being a musical for one. And I think you don't have a problem with that, it seems. It seems you're fine.
I don't have a problem with the numbers themselves, but I don't think I think it's a losing strategy having 15 musicals in The Joker. I mean, maybe this proves that you could take The Joker to Broadway and you could it could be a stage thing,
That was their original plan for it. They were going to do a Broadway Joker.
That kind of works a bit more. Obviously, you need to have a... I mean, maybe it works because maybe that's the sort of crowd. But yeah, I don't know. It's the thing. It's also like, is that crowd going to go and see a musical? the crowd that loves superhero movies. It's such a weird one. It is a little bit spiteful too. I mean, we like...
It is in a way that I love.
I know, but that's the thing. I also... Yeah, I think it's fair to them as well. I know,
incels just have one guy.
Not incels. No, not incels. We're not talking about incels. We're talking about like people who do like to watch a lot of these kind of superhero movies.
They've
loved
culture Nolan's for Batman. 10 years.
Yeah.
They can...
I don't feel that bad for them, but it's certainly...
We catered to audiences and we'll just... Who's it for? It's for me.
Who's this for? It's like one person.
Literally.
That's so
I'm so glad it exists. Like, I really, really loved watching it. I'll watch it again. Like, I don't think I've watched the first Joker again, but I'll definitely, definitely watch this again. And the musical numbers, I was quite smitten. I was taken by them. I was like, you're like a little gay kid watching Sound of Music for the first time or something. It was like transformative. I was loving it.
Little gay kid.
It's like a little gay joke. Still watch that?
Yeah. Oh, Sound, yeah, it was very good. But you can see how it doesn't fit.
It doesn't fit. That's why
it's such a different hole. It's such a different hole.
You got Warner Brothers to spend $200 million on it. It's like one of my favorite things that an artist has done within the studio system.
That's the thing. I don't think that's a good reason to like a movie because... Yeah,
it's just separate from that. It's like that's just another element of this whole... The thing is, it's the movie. I'm always just watching the movie. And I found out a lot about this stuff... After watching the movie, you know, you watch a good movie, you look at Wikipedia and IMDb and you find out more info about the movie. I was literally just watching the movie and I really didn't want it to be good, which is obviously you set your expectations low, it's going to be more easily breached. So maybe I made a mistake there. Maybe I should have gone and going, this is going to be the best movie ever, and then I would have hated it.
No, it can go the other way around. Like, for example, I've set a blank for Megalopolis. If I went in thinking I want to hate Megalopolis, I feel like that's a bit self-fulfilling. And, and certainly for this film, I think for a lot of people it is self-fulfilling because you don't give it a fair go. Certainly I have not given this as fair a go as I've done the Substance, and I recognize that. But at the end of the day, like, you know, I mean, I've got the entire, like, crowd on the same side as me.
Yeah,
like,
you and what army?
Yeah, what? Exactly. You're like that one guy. Look out, it's that one guy.
I think it's going to be reclaimed for sure. I reckon 5 years from now, people are going to talk about how good Joker 2 is.
Like I said, I think the people in your corner, and I'm sure there's someone out there that liked the first one and then like the second one on their merits. And I agree. Like, I'm not disputing the fact that you like this film, but I think the majority in your corner loves the movie because of what its legacy, if it makes sense.
Probably
to like destroy the first Joker, which it kind of like does.
Yeah, I thought the first one was combative.
In the same similar way to like The Last Jedi is combative to The Force Awakens, and it sort of tells a story to undo the first one, if it makes sense. Mm. So it's funny that it's the same director. Like, it doesn't feel like it's the it's the same feel, but it's usually you'd see this from a different director, like coming in and saying "fuck you, Todd Phillips," but it's Todd Phillips saying "fuck you, Todd Phillips."
I think that's
like he's taken a substance or something.
An interesting part of it is that it is so different from the first movie, which is like, again, that probably lends itself to me liking it, because if it's just the same sort of, like, if he just becomes more of the Joker and, you know, kills some more people and the mob of Joker people gets bigger and that's what the movie's about, you know, that would be pretty boring. I think it's either you have to do this kind of movie or no sequel.
Clearly needs to be no sequel, I think, because, well, I mean, it really doesn't set itself up for like, we're going to take it into this sort of territory. It sort of exists on its own little level. Look, I don't think the message was misinterpreted that much. I don't think so. We live in an age where we've got a lot of anti-heroes that occupy our screen, like Breaking Bad.
Sopranos.
Every
Game of Thrones character, really. Like,
so, you know, it's not uncharted territory that we've got, oh my God, it's this anti-hero and people are going to rise up.
There's so many like Walter White being badass memes, right?
And that doesn't mean
the show's dangerous. Like, because one guy's like, Skyler's.
And actually, Breaking Bad is misinterpreted in terms of
all the time.
People do not really, I think, fully get that he's an anti-hero. He's not, you know, like a good guy. But you definitely go for him, and you go for Joker in the film. But you can have
for sure.
What an anti-hero is. Wolf of Wall Street, same thing. People
they're
like
the main character. They're the protagonist, even if they are an anti-hero.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's two movies, two for one deal again.
Yeah, it's a good way to do it.
I think so.
Knock them out.
So hopefully we've you know what? I reckon you've convinced some people to watch The Joker.
I hope so, because
and then you'll get some hate mail on Twitter or something saying I was not going to see it, and then I listened to you, and now you fucking idiot.
It's not a good like ratio, but I think maybe 1 in 10 people who liked the first one would like the second one. So if you think you might be one of that 1 in 10, you know, watch it. Give it a chance. Yeah. Give it a fair shake of the sauce bottle.
I love that. If you can just reach out to one person, it's all worth it.
It is worth it, because that's the beauty of movies, isn't it? Like, you can just find something that speaks to you, even if everybody else fucking hates it. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, but I just enjoy insulting people. I'm not going to insult you. I
insult people all the time for like people who don't like Joker 2. Basically, like, I did a long review of it, and basically I'm like, it's because you're an idiot who like never
you're like Donald Trump. You're an idiot. It's actually a winning film.
Yeah, exactly.
Critics say fake news.
They didn't like it. They didn't like Joker 2.
It's so funny. I'll keep trying to find a positive review. Maybe this is the first one.
I saw if you go on Letterboxd and just sort by.
I don't count those. I'm saying published review.
Fair. Do those even exist anymore? I feel like film critics, like people who are like, yeah, getting paid to. I can't think of a favorite film critic. Every time I see one that's like famous, they have a shitty opinion, and I don't like. But David Ehrlich, or whatever.
Don't meet your heroes. We might be some people's favorite film critics. You never know.
Doubt it.
But maybe Alyssa. She was on the pod last week. I feel like.
Not her name.
If you ask her to name a film critic, I think she'd just panic and say us.
Yeah, probably.
Maybe mum. One out of two of my parents would
That's
say
true.
Me.
That's one true. One out of two. They're not really. I don't think either of my parents have listened, but I don't think they've ever read a film review either. So
there you go. Easy. Get in. All right. Okay. Been a pleasure.
Good. And, very good.
Upcoming. I thought I'd just announce to the audience we've got. The Master and Commander rewatch.
Oh, which yeah.
We're going to review. We might do that in person when you're in town.
Yeah, I'm in town I think next week.
What's great about doing a review on that is that there's actually not many, there's published review, like, so, you know, people have done, but there hasn't been many, like,
nobody's podcasting
videos. No one's really, well, maybe someone has, but I don't think there's been many. So I think that's a good one.
More.
Listen. Yeah. So one of the, it's always quite a hidden gem. But I don't see many reviews about it, so let's smash it, you know.
Master and Commander. I will be the Commander.
And I guess I'll have to be the Master then.
Paul Bettany is the one I want to be, so.
Oh, yeah. I feel like, yeah, I definitely. I can't have more than one Jonah on my boat. <Don't know. laughs> But Prime Russell Crowe.
Prime.
He really is.
Let's not do it. We're doing the review.
No, now. We're not doing it now. Oh, you really want to do it?
No. I'm saying let's not.
I think that's one in person. We'll try to get a third with us.
Yeah. We love a third.
Sounds good. All right.
Okay.
Cheerio.
Bye for now.